Hi, everybody, and welcome to Coach's Corner. Oh boy, this is a juicy one. So Jade Luna has been my astrologer for nearly a decade. I think this is the third or fourth time he's been on the show. And we go deep in this. And he starts talking about some pretty far out things. It's going to feel pretty far out for a lot of you. And what I really invite you to listen to is the metaphor of it. Oh, there's such an incredible story he tells. And I really want you to hear in that about how oftentimes we're looking to get rid of something, whether it's like a pattern or something that happened to us. List can go on and on. We're looking to get rid of something, to be free of something, to change this one part or change this one person. And so often the answer isn't about getting rid of it. It's more in gratitude and forgiveness. We talk about the path of really exploring the dark side or our shadow side and what that really means. And we talk about so much. And Jade gives some predictions, and he talks a lot about some of the things that are happening in the world right now, especially some of the harder things that are happening in the world. And you'll be relieved to hear about some of the things he does see coming. Jade is an Asterian astrologer. He'll talk to you about what that is exactly. And his readings are really powerful. So his readings are different from other astrologers. He comes in and really gives you an overall reading about like who you are, the stars you were born under. You get a yearly reading from him. He goes through the different cycles that you're going to be in for that year, your main lessons that you're learning, difficult weeks to be aware of, like when the planets aren't aligned super great and what you may be experiencing. So to kind of plan your life around those difficult weeks, which are so useful to have. His readings are so in-depth and so precise and so different from a lot of other astrological readings of like, you could be feeling this, or, you know, he's very, very specific. He does have a pretty long wait list. The link to book with him is in the show notes, or you can go to asterianastrology.org. That's spelled A-S-T-E-R-I-A-N, astrology.org. And he also gives an email in the conversation that we have. So put all your biases aside, really listen with open ears and an open heart. If you don't agree with the languaging, really listen to the metaphor. Jade has a lot of wisdom, and I'm so glad he shared a lot of it with us on the podcast today. So now onto my conversation with Jade Luna. Jade Luna, one of my all-time favorite guests. Thank you for coming back to the show.
So excited to be here again.
I think you and Steph are in competition for the people that have been on the show the most amount of time.
That's an honor, though. I mean, like I said, I love coming on your show, and it's like, I also love your base of people. It's like, I really gel well with them too. So that's a definite addition.
We have a really awesome community. I'm very, very grateful for this community and just really open-minded people that want to learn and want to grow. And I know this conversation will be really enriching for everyone, and hopefully connect some dots and make some sense for people, because I think there's a lot happening right now. And I just was saying to my mom on the way up, I'm like, gosh, can we say uncle to the universe? Because it just feels like quite a lot. And I want to pick that back up. But just before we dive into that, I just want to set some context, because I read your bio and intro before we got into this conversation. Many people know who you are and have heard you on the show, possibly gotten a reading from you. But a lot of people may not be familiar with the kind of astrology you teach, which is Asterian astrology. Can you explain what that is and how that's different from more traditional astrology that people might be used to?
Well, you know, there's a big difference in the fact that people don't realize that Western astrology, what they call tropical astrology, doesn't use the actual stars in the sky, meaning there's no correlation to the dates and times that they're using in the actual stars, where Asterian astrology means actually star-based astrology. Mm-hmm. And so when you are talking about Western astrology, you're calling it tropical astrology. The tropics were used in ancient time to create a calendar. The Tropic of Cancer was specifically used for creating calendars on the planet. And an astrologer in ancient time had two jobs. One was to create calendars, which was seasonal, and the other one was to observe the stars in the sky. So when Catholicism was born, they created anti-divination laws, making the observing of the stars in the sky illegal. Hmm. And so then the calendar, the tropics, took over the zodiac. So wherever you get Western astrology, what they're using is an actual calendar. And I'll explain, the first day of Aries in Western astrology is the first day of spring. That used to be when we celebrated January 1st. And actually, tropical astrology, we should be using it seasonally and for growing crops and all the things we used to use it for. But the first day of Aries is the first day of spring. If you wrap the 12 months around that date and just kind of color them with the names of the signs, that's our old seasonal calendar. So the seasonal calendar, wherever Catholicism grew, replaced the actual zodiac. So you'll hear say, oh, it's Taurus season. Oh, it's Aries season, things of that nature. That's technically true, but astrology means science of the stars. That's what the word astrology means. So tropical astrology is a northern hemisphere calendar. It's not even a southern hemisphere calendar. It's just a northern hemisphere calendar because in Australia, these seasons are the exact opposite of ours, yet they're still using what they call tropical astrology, which again, doesn't make a lot of sense. So Western astrology is a northern hemisphere seasonal calendar that we actually should be using. We should be celebrating January 1st on spring equinox. So Western astrology, which is called tropical astrology, is based upon the seasons. And the Egyptians were the best at this. They used both systems. They used tropical astrology for growing crops, and the stars in the sky they observed for personality analysis. So we use ancient astrology here, the system that the Egyptians, Babylonians, Hindus, and the Buddhists use even still to this day. And most of the places on this planet that were not influenced by Catholicism still use astrology or the signs of the stars. So one is seasonal, the other one is actually star-based. It means I could take you, if you were here in Joshua Tree tonight, I could take you outside and show you the planets moving through the constellations. It only takes about 6 months when you learn Vedic astrology to actually learn where the stars are and the way that they look. And then you can actually see the planets moving through them. That's something that no Western astrologer can do. The two things a Western astrologer cannot do is take you outside at night and show you the planets moving through the stars. Well, how much evidence do we need to show that that's what our ancients did? Mm. Planetariums, observatories, they observe the stars in the sky. And a Western astrologer can't actually predict seasons. I mean, excuse me, the ages that we're in. That's why you've had the age of Aquarius predicted 7 times since you've been alive. Mm. Because only a sidereal astrologer can actually predict ages. Ages are based upon the zodiac in the sky moves 1 degree every 72 years. It's called the precession of the equinox. That creates the ages that we are in. So we can predict ages. We actually use this. I can take you out at night and show you the planets move through the stars. I could even put a horoscope together if there was no technology at all. I could show you where the planets were and so forth. So we are star-based. And Asterion is probably the most advanced system of astrology on this planet, as not only does it deal with the actual stars and the planets moving through the stars, it is deeply in touch with deities, you know, angels, higher beings, gods. The gods of ancient time are nothing but the angels of today, like Vishnu is Archangel Michael and so forth. We actually use these gods more than any system of astrology that is currently, you know, that is currently exists right now. The Egyptians, Babylonians, mastered the art of connecting these planets to spiritual entities. Hmm. So Asterion is the furthering of that. When I predicted the pandemic before it started, it was very simple. It was due to the Egyptian god Set, which we call Typhon of my system, taking over the planet for a 3-year run. Hmm. He was the god of plagues. That's how easy it was to make that prediction. So we make predictions based on what these gods represent in creation. And when the planets are moving through their homes, that's where the word house comes from. When you have a planet and it's in the house of one of these ancient gods, that's where the word house came from. So we can actually make predictions based on seeing what gods are taking over the planet for periods of time. So it's a very star-based system. We actually use the stars. Western astrology means tropical astrology, which means calendar-based astrology. One is used for crops, tropical. The other one, star-based, is used for personality analysis.
I love that description. And I've heard you make this distinction several times, and I always learn something new every time you do. And what really stood out to me this time is the correlation to the different gods that rule over things. And so for someone listening who may have a debate in their head between spirituality and actual science, where do you see spirituality and science coming together in this type of astrology?
Well, you know, it's a question that it's a powerful question. You know, astrology means science of the stars. That's what it actually means. Yet at the same time, you know, we are calculating planets that are millions of miles away, billions of miles away. And the fact that they can have such a specific control on humanity, well, there's a point where you have to bring the realm of angels, gods, into the picture to complete it. So it's going to be a spiritual science, meaning the person sitting next to you has more of an energetic pull than a planet 2 billion miles away. And that can be proven by science. But the truth is, in astrology, that planet's going to have a much stronger effect on you than that person sitting next to you. And people who do astrology, actually, we know that. So as much as astrology is a science, as I mean, science of the stars, you have to bring the metaphysical into it to complete it. You have to.
Yeah. Well, and you and I have been connected for, I don't even know, a while, way before I met Steph. So over 6 years, and you have been accurate. And I'm intentionally using the word accurate, not right, because there's a precision to what you talk about. And if you sign up to get a reading with Jade, it's much different than any astrological reading you'll get. And we'll talk about more about that at the end. But I've learned so much about myself through our readings and how the planets and the universe work uniquely with my chart. So what I would love to dive into next is, how can we learn from the stars? And is our planet stars? Do you group stars and planets together?
Yes, we do. Signs, these 27 signs, are actually star constellations that exist. Yes. And the planets are perfectly moving through them. Yes.
Moving through them. Okay. So stars stay kind of in one place and the planets move through them, including the planet Earth.
That's correct.
Okay. So I'm back to like solar system, eighth grade science here. So let's look at now. Okay. We're dropping this episode at the beginning of May, 2024. As I was saying earlier, it just feels like things just get more and more intense. And many of my clients, many people listening, feel like, when are we going to get a bit of a break? Just feels like one thing after another, especially since 2020. So can you shed some light on collectively what's been happening?
You know, in 2012, when people were talking about, you know, December being kind of like an Armageddon and the end of the world, I did a seminar tour in 2012 to stop people from thinking about 2012. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you can scroll way down on my Instagram and see a tour that I did in 2012. And I said, it starts in 2020. Mm-hmm. Because they were coming up with conclusions by wrapping Western astrology into the Mayan calendar. And you can't actually do that.
Remember that.
You can't actually do that. You can't use a season-based system of astrology to kind of correlate with the Mayans that were actually masters of the stars like we are. Vedic astrology, Egyptian astrology, Asterian I put as number one. We actually use the stars in the sky. So when you're looking at the map that the Mayans were using with real astrology, the actual stars in the sky, well, then you have to start at 2020. I've been talking about 2020 to 2070 to being a countdown to the end of this age since 2009. There's even a seminar I gave in Concord, Massachusetts in 2005, where I talked about 2020. And Jonathan Glass, who actually runs the Healing Essence Center in Concord, is telling people, you know, he talked about 2020 in 2005 as being the beginning of the end of this age. It's one of the hardest times right now to be an astrologer. Let me explain how and why. I know that we're in a countdown to the end of the age, which means every year has the potential to be harder than the year before it. That potential exists. We have to collectively remove 75% of our karma as human beings before 2070. 75%. And our karma, which is our accumulation of actions from previous births, we have hit the stage now where now it all has to be cleared out, because the age we're going into next, that starts in 2070, is an age of higher consciousness and higher light. So we have to, as a collective humanity, remove all this karma between now and then. So why is that hard to be an astrologer? Well, because you see these good cycles coming, you see these phases coming, and you do go, well, that is going to take place while there is this collective mass transition going on at the same time. And so you have to calculate that into everything. So it's challenging. So there are times where I could literally get up there and say, okay, Jupiter's getting ready to go into Taurus. Actually, you can visibly see it in the stars. I might actually show people, because Skyview is a little telescope on your phone that you can like pop up into the sky, and it shows you where the planets are moving through the signs. But you can see how Jupiter's just getting ready to go into Taurus, which normally is a very expansive time financially, which I still believe we're going to have, you know, some elements of that. This is generally a really good alignment on the planet. Jupiter going through Taurus is generally really auspicious, and I've been looking forward to it and am still looking forward to it, while still knowing that there is this massive transition going on as this planet is moving into a new age in 2070. And so we are also, while we're going through this great expanse of energy of Jupiter going through Taurus, knowing that the planet is still going to be removing our karma. And when that takes place collectively, like it is now, it affects the entire planet, including our weather, including all this anger between red and blue. All this stuff is based upon this planet shifting in consciousness. And I hear people saying, well, you know, what's going on in America? I want to get out of that, and I want to move to another country. Well, go ahead. It's going to be a problem there too. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, this planet is going through this. You know, I spent most of my upbringing in India. India's going through this stuff right now. There's never been this level of political unrest in India. France, it doesn't matter where you go, the planet is shifting. Mm-hmm. And there is a massive energetic shift going on. I can't even remember what I thought like in 2019. That's how big 2020 was. It came in and we just started clearing out karma. And as much as it feels harder, there's also a lot more light being thrown around everywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. this transition, we're seeing it visibly. We've been talking, astrologers like myself have been talking about this age that we're in right now for decades now. But we're here. We're here in it. We're watching it take place. And this is what this stuff feels like. It's very intense, because not only is the planet having to shift into a new age, we have to be prepared for the new age ourselves. So we have to have our karma cleared out entirely. Well, not entirely, 75% of it. And that's a huge amount, which means that karma, it's a weight that sits in your subconscious mind from your actions in previous lives and this life. And it's a weight that that prevents you from moving upward in consciousness. So the universe is clearing all that out inside of us right now. And we are under rapid transition, and we can see the effects of that visibly in this planet, even through the weather, through politics. All these various things are reflecting what we are going collectively. Yeah. Mm-hmm. War. Yes. Let's not forget that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to circle back to that, because I do want to talk about that, because I know it's on a lot of people's minds lately. So I want to, let's unpack karma a little bit, because this is something I talk about on the show as well, of like, you know, the universe is always bringing things up for us so that we can evolve as souls. If the entelechy of an acorn is to evolve into an oak tree, the entelechy of a soul is to evolve consciousness. I know that's a simple way to put it, but that's one of the ways that I like to context it. So when we look at karma, that you defined as the things we carry from past lifetimes into this lifetime, and perhaps even the things we accumulate in this lifetime. How do we clear it?
Well, it's through balance. And what you're bringing up here is the path of Agora that I'm on. And by the way, Agora is one of the, you know, more unusual spiritual paths on this planet. And it deals with, you know, confronting the darkest parts of your subconscious mind at all times and dealing with what's in there.
That sounds so inviting. I'm surprised I don't have an MLM to join that.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. You know, it is. And, you know, I will tell you something that my guru told me, that he wanted me to westernize Agora because of how many Agoras were actually in the United States that were genuinely real Agoras. And so he wanted me to westernize everything that I was doing. And Agora is complete reverse psychology with everything. And you know, it's I've even been demonized for being an Agora. If you go online and you Google my name, there are places that don't like me being an Agora. Often, you know, the main place was a place in India where we created a documentary called Shadow of the Guru. We talked about gurus that were using negativity to actually influence their, or to gain powers over their audience and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so they smeared us all publicly, but they used me being an Agora as the reason why maybe you shouldn't listen to him. Meanwhile, it's one of the most evolved paths on earth, but it's reverse psychology and it looks kind of dark to people. And the belief is, this is going to answer your question, we have to experience an equal amount of light and dark in a lifetime.
Yeah.
This is, I'm going to give you an Agora in a, just a quick nutshell, so to speak. You have to experience an equal amount of light and dark. So Agora is like, let's deal with all of our dark in spirituality. Let's worship Kali. Let's worship Shiva. Let's have maybe a dark altar room so we don't have to experience this stuff in our life. Mm-hmm. That's the premise of it. So yet, because you have to experience an equal amount of light and dark, and that's the balance of karma. And you asked how we get rid of karma. It's through the balance of opposites. It's through the balance of opposites that we clear out all karma. So we aggressively get into Kali worship, Shiva, kind of like the darker entities and deities. So we deal with our darkness there. So we don't have to deal with it in our life. And people have asked me, have you felt actual experiences where your life has changed because of it? And that goes back to when I started doing Agora. I was 17, living out of my car. And I was in a musician and I was in a signed band traveling around the country, but I couldn't even afford to have a home. And then I got sick, went to India to learn Ayurveda, got into Agora and came back and started making money, started having a life. And all of a sudden now, I'm not going to say I have an amazing life, but it's definitely been an abundant life. And I'd have to say in many respects, my life's actually been easy ever since I've been in Agora. I can tell that the actual act of worshiping Kali, one of the darkest entities in creation, that I've balanced out my darkness there, and I have had a lot less of it in my life. And so Agora is the act of trying to aggressively create that balance and that cleansing of karma by worshiping a darker deity like Kali or Shiva or Hecate, so we don't have to bring it into our everyday existence. And I kind of encourage it. So my guru, the Agora belief is, hey, if your altar just emanates light, well, you've just opened up the doorway where your life might just deal with a lot of dark now.
And so
we want the balance there.
I totally believe this, and maybe said in a different way. One thing I've said on the show many times is we learn through contrast. I mean, I wrote a book on disappointment. expectation hangover. And I remember my agent saying to me when I was thinking about writing my next book, she's like, maybe you should write about something a little more uplifting. I'm like, but that's not what I'm here to do. And I've even gotten criticism on this show for, you know, taking people into their past or into their unresolved issues or into their pain, not leaving them there, giving them, you know, some tools and compassion to move through it. But I'm not pep talky. I'm not like, you just need to do steps 1, 2, 3, because I believe in, you know, looking at the things that are painful. Otherwise, they're just going to keep popping up. So I think that it's important for us to give some definition to some of these words, because when we say dark, people might think demonic and satanic and those things, but that's not what we're talking about. So can you give some examples of what darkness looks like? Because for my understanding, someone like Kali, she's the goddess of creation and destruction. She comes and, for lack of a better term, and I'm going to swear, just fuck shit up, breaks things down so that, like, you know, what isn't working is just ripped apart and you learn from the rebuilding of that. So I'd love you to go into a little more detail of what you mean by darkness.
Darkness, well, first of all, is connected to fear. And it's fear of the unknown. Darkness to me is literally, we call it dark. It's that which you cannot see. And we see that as the driving force in the midst of almost everything. So there's two things in the universe. And this is me simplifying agora for people. You know, it's like the Chinese yin yang. It's like inside the heart of light is dark. Inside the heart of dark is light. Darkness is fear. And it's fear. And it's stored in our subconscious based upon the things we've actually experienced in previous lives. And in our darkness is basically connected to fear. And fear we see as the opposite of love. Not hate, because we could connect love to hate. You can actually have days where you hate somebody you love. So we don't separate those two. But fear and love, we do believe, are opposites. Darkness is where our fears are stored. So what do we fear as human beings? There's only one thing, according to Agora, that we're afraid of. And that's separation. That's it. It's the only thing you're afraid of. Being separated from a person. Being separated from your body. Being separated from bliss and having to deal with pain in your body. We are afraid of separation. And that is the primal essence of Agora, is we're afraid to be separated. And so union is light. It's where we are completely, utterly unified. But we have to go through the fear of separation before we completely unify. And so Agora and darkness really is just the stuff that we've encountered that we cannot explain, that was incredibly difficult for us. Loss, separation, being taken away from someone that we love is the single most dark thing we've been through. Now, our actions can contribute to the type of darkness that we have to experience in our lives. Your previous lives are dictating how that darkness, that fear, is coming back into your current life now. So our actions generate how we have to deal with fear. That sounds kind of advanced, but that's how that this works. We all have different ways in which we have to experience darkness. Again, we have to experience, like the Chinese yin yang, an equal amount of light and dark in a lifetime. It's impossible. So darkness is the things that we're afraid of. Separation is the only thing you're afraid of. There's nothing else you're afraid of. So we have to overcome whatever is inside of our existence that is creating the fear of separation. And the only thing that can actually get in there and cure that is unity and light. So Agoras are aware, like I am, that in the end, we're going to experience infinite light. We have no doubt about that. And we do believe light is the greatest of all things. But we have to deal with this shadow down here. We have to deal with this fear of separation. We have to deal with fear in general. And so when you get into the more of like demons, well, see, if you go study Agora, we get into that too. And so this is our take of what a demon is completely, utterly different than what a Christian's belief of what a demon is. Us, we create good and bad karma in our life. Angels, which we call the devas, keep track of all the good things that you do and decide when that karma comes back to you. And they use astrology to do it. This is how advanced astrology is. Often Jupiter, Venus, and the sun are based upon bringing our good karma back to us that we've created from previous lives. So let me give you an example. Let's just say you're living in Tibet and you are meditating under a Bodhi tree and you just want love to fill your heart center. And you're going to meditate and you're going to chant a mantra for 10 years under that Bodhi tree just to open your heart and feel this divine love and the presence of the universe moving through you. So let's just say you do this 10-year practice and it's done. And you're like, well, I don't feel anything now. Oh, no. Angels, the devas, were keeping track of all of that. And they're going to decide, often through Jupiter, when that karma comes back to you. And they may even decide, we don't want that coming back to you in this life. We may want that set up for some other lifetime. There are forces out there to keep track of all the good things you do. They are the angels, and they exist in the ethers. They are in the air. Mount Olympus, was that in Greece? Mount Kailash, is that in India? Same location, by the way. Mount Olympus, Mount Kailash, same place. It's different names. They are where the highest of all angels and archangels, we call them the Devas or Mahadevas, reside. Well, you're also going to create some bad actions too in a life. And there are forces out there that have to keep track of all the bad things that you do in a lifetime. As my guru would say, all the things you do when you think no one's looking. There are forces keeping track of all of that too. We call them here demons. In India, they're called Rakshas. Kali is the queen of Rakshas. Saturn is the planet and the North Node, the most misunderstood of all planets. The North Node is what I call Medusa in Asterian astrology. Medusa, the North Node, and Saturn decide when your bad karma comes back to you, and there are forces that keep track of all that. So what a demon is in Agora are forces keeping track of all the bad things you've done. So let's just say that I had a client of mine go to Iran. This is a true story. And she went to a cave, and it was like literally The Exorcist. She felt like she got a demon went into her. And she came back, and we talked about that. And we have a very specific way in Agora of dealing with possession. And so much so, I've dealt with it successfully my entire life because we have a very different way of viewing it. And so she comes to me and she was like, well, I had a horrible experience with this and I'm going to create a ultraviolet light machine with somebody else and we are going to destroy demons because I felt one for the first time and I believe they're real. My response was, well, let's just say, first of all, you can't get rid of them because they belong to consciousness. So let's just say you got rid of them. Someone like Jeffrey Dahmer could kill and eat people and get away with it. But because demons exist, he can't. He has to pay for his actions. They make certain. So what we see, the dark spirits, which Christianity calls demons, we see as entities that are keeping track of your bad actions and deciding when that karma comes back to you. So what does that work in the world of possession then? Because I deal with that, and I deal with that often. As a matter of fact, I'm the last resort person. I've had people come to me, they've been through everything and they've dealt with possession and they end up with me and they have a totally different experience with me. I could tell you crazy stories about this, but so what a possession is in Agora, well, you have previous lives and there are previous lives where you deal with magic and there are previous lives where you make spirits do things that they do not want to do. You can put a spirit in a jar, a brass jar. And if you know how to trap it in there, you can say, go make that person fall in love with me. It'll go do it. You can say, go, and there's books on this and a lot of religions outside of our own country practice this type of stuff. So you are making spirits do something they do not want to do. So they will wait until you have a life where you forgot how to do that. And then they're going to make you do what you don't want to do. So if someone comes to me as last resort, and I have a story that was so bizarre, it almost ended up in a Hollywood movie, but the creators in Hollywood were like, ah, this doesn't have the Hollywood ending that people want. The demons and Christianity are tied together. This doesn't end up with that, so we can't do it. But we were really close to having an actual real case of possession where someone came in to my place, and she went to a Catholic monastery, and they got rid of her. The spirit was so negative, they were like, get out of here. They went to one of the biggest healers in Ojai, California. His name is Ray. And she went up there and he started working on her and the thing came out of her and bit him. And he literally said, get out of here. I can't, I've never dealt with that. So someone calls this, contacts the lady, says, go see Jade. Just contact Jade and see what he has to say about this. So she comes in to see me and I feel it in her and I can feel that spirit in her. I don't have a negative relation with these spirits at all, because I know what they mean. So I said, I'm going to do something that's going to be really uncomfortable for you and is going to shock you, but we're going to apologize to the spirit today for what you did to it and why it's in you. And it was gone just like that.
Wow.
And that's how we do a possession. We are responsible for the things that happen to us. We can believe in some rogue entity out there trying to create chaos on this planet like a devil. Well, in India, that's Shiva. That pitchfork is the same in both religions, and he's the god of destruction. And it even says in the Bible, the devil does nothing but destruction. Meanwhile, he's punishing the wicked. So maybe we have a total misunderstanding of what that force is in creation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference between dogmatic religion and agoric or spiritual religions that really embrace darkness as not an enemy, but a friend. Like we see Hades, if you talk to a Christian about Hades, oh, he's the devil. Well, in India, Hades' name is Yama, and he's an incredibly enlightened god. And then you go to Buddhism, where his name is Yamantaka. He's a buffalo-headed god that's worshipped throughout all of Tibetan Buddhism as something high, not low. So it's a perspective when you deal with dogmatic religions that there's a demon out there that's actually trying to bring harm and chaos to the planet, where astrology gets right in there through Saturn and Rahu and says, this is an orchestrated event based upon your karma from previous lives. We have to deal with our yin and yang. And this is why I've had some issues with manifesting. Being like, well, you can't get rid of your karma. You can try. But manifesting doesn't get rid of that karma that you're carrying around, that baggage. I'm a big advocate to where if you want an abundant life, let's kind of go into the dark a little bit. And let's clear that out. Because if you clear that out, that creates all the poverty in your life and those things. So we can clear that out. Then we can bring light. And here's this interesting truth. The universe wants you to have a completely abundant life. And I'll tell you why. From the perspective of reincarnation, if you have a great marriage, a great career, you feel loved, you give love to other people, you can complete this thing in this life. It means you can be done if you want. When you're done, you're like, I have done it all. But that which is sitting inside of you, like, I didn't get this, I didn't get that. So when we pass on, if we go into that realm, well, I didn't get love. I didn't have the money I wanted in my account. I didn't feel protected by the universe. You're going to take a bunch of births to figure that stuff out. Yeah. So abundance is the way out of all of this. But how do you get abundance? I wish we could manifest it away. That would be awesome. We have to deal with our shadow self. So I believe Agora is the path of realization. Let's go clear out the shit. Let's get in there, clear that shit out that's creating all the lack of things that you want in your life. Let's get there and clear it on out. And let's realize our divine role in the universe, which then we have to deal with astrology. The goal of astrology is to answer the one question, which is why you're in a human body. Who am I? This is why I don't like Western astrology that aligns you with signs you're not, because that's a complete contradiction to what astrology is about. We are here to answer the who am I. We are only in a body for you to answer this out. We go through all this yin yang, all this light and dark to answer one question. Who am I?
Yeah.
You realize that in the end.
I think that's a question many people have asked many times. And I just want to go back, because everything you said was so fascinating on so many levels. And there may be people listening, they're like, whoa, like demons, possessions, like you lost me on this. What really stood out to me was, even if someone doesn't like, that doesn't sit in their belief system, was the incredible lesson that I heard in everything that you talked about, which is take responsibility for our lives. Like, not trying to get rid of something or blame someone else, but actually take responsibility for our lives. And whether that means apologizing to whether it's a person or a demon, whether it's not pointing fingers at everything else in the world, but really taking responsibility for our life, our growth, and our karma. And I think we live in a world that often wants to blame something else, or if this didn't happen to me, then I'd be fine, versus, wow, like, I can have compassion for myself, and this is really difficult. And by me believing that if this wasn't going on in my life would be better, that's preventing me from actually clearing the karma and taking responsibility for my life. Does that make sense?
Which puts it in the repeat. Yes, it puts it in the repeat mode. But those things in your life that keep going on, you're like, why do I keep going through this? Yeah. First of all, it's in your birth chart. There are certain karmas that we repeat until we consciously realize we are responsible for it. In Agora, we have this fundamental belief. Take responsibility for everything that's ever happened to you right now and free yourself. You're responsible for it. And if you can fully embrace that, we believe a light comes forth from to bring active conscious change to you. Is the full admittance. I'm sorry. These are the things I've done to create my karma. And I am fully responsible for what's happened. Now, do you know how deep that is for someone that loses someone they love, like a child? Mm-hmm. This is where only Agora can answer these questions. There is no other religion. And it's so interesting. This is why I believe, because I view your show as one of the more powerful shows that I go on. And yet, you know, and here's my proof of what my guru said. There's a need for Agora in the United States, where I can come on a show and we start talking about astrology, which they're not separate. by the way. But we start there and we end up talking about darkness, because there's a need to understand why we're going through this mess that we are. And, you know, everything agoras say are just the most uncomfortable things. My agoric teacher would always say, the earth is in perfect harmony. You're not. Mm. So you can't understand it. God creates the universe. Then he preserves the universe that he created. And then he destroys the universe that he created. God creates, preserves, destroys. If you can embrace all three, everything's in perfect harmony right now. We are clearly dealing with the destroyer on this planet right now. And that's why people have a hard time to feel the spirituality in it. Meanwhile, I can't believe the awakening going on right now. It's never been this high. Like I said, we can't even go back to the way we thought in 2019. That's how much we've changed in a few years from the destroyer taking over. Yeah. And we are still dealing with that destroyer energy that's on this planet right now. We're going to deal with that until 2070. But there's a need for us to understand darkness. And astrology comes into that, because it's not just about light. If you do believe in astrology, only Jupiter and Venus bring good things to you. The rest of the planets can bring challenge. The moon and Mercury are neutral. They'll bring whatever planets near them. But Rahu, Saturn, Mars, the sun in India, they believe is cruel because of how hot it is. And in all the outer planets, the north, these are all negative planets. We have to deal with more negativity in this world than positive if you believe in astrology, because there's so many more negative planets than positive. That's because to be fearless means that you are officially strong in yourself. Mm. You are unshakable. So there are forces out there that are unshakable. One of the hardest things in Agora to talk about are the masters. There are masters that run this planet. People seem to forget this. They're not public beings, by the way. They're not people you can go that are calling themselves sock gurus and stuff. Masters don't call themselves anything, because they're working for the consciousness of this planet. And it, out of those five living masters, saints, whatever you want to call them, one of them brings havoc to this planet. Here's some serious reverse philosophy. And they believe that's the one that loves the planet the most.
Wow.
Why? Because Earth is school. It's not your home. You are here to learn about who you are. This is the medium that you get to answer the who am I. And there's a bunch of forces out there that are against you. And without them, you cannot become strong in yourself. And I hate using pop culture for this, but it makes it real understandable. Harry Potter could have never become the wizard he was without Voldemort. So how we view someone like Voldemort is Voldemort said, oh, here's Harry Potter, a great saint. I am going to go against him until he becomes a master. And when he's a master, my work is done. That's the way we see darkness. It's a force that's going, oh, there's a master there. Ah, so let's go right after him and let's turn him into someone great. Mm-hmm. That's the way we see darkness. We believe that's Kali looking for beings out there that have this mastery in them and says, ah, let's go against them, because that one is actually possessing the most light right now. So darkness is attracted to light to make masters. So we believe the master concept comes from that dark master who's creating all these adversities on this planet, who knows exactly how to go into your personal life too and create all these challenges there, knowing where your work is needed the most, so you can master yourself and realize who you are. So darkness is the force out there creating masters and saints. Yeah. Once you realize that we are going to end up in light, we're going to end up there for all eternity. That is our actual home. Once you accept that, Earth is just school and a medium in which that is realized. So this is high level advanced teaching right here. And this is the type of stuff that the reason why a Westerner can travel 15,000 miles to see the Dalai Lama, and for him to look at you and you go, so what's the real universe? And he looks at you and says, eat well, sleep well, be happy. Means the truth out there is way too hard for someone to understand. And I'm speaking about it right now. The darkness in the world is the love of the universe trying to make you a master, knowing that the only reason why you're alive is to realize yourself. This earth is just school. And when you can believe that and accept it, you're watching it in action right now.
Oh, wow. You know, when I was touring for Expectation Hangover, one of the things I talk about is how excited I would get when someone had an expectation hangover, because I knew they had the possibility of a huge breakthrough, and not just an aha moment, but a literally completion of something that has been in their life for a very long time. So I love that you're talking about this. And I want to, this is a good opportunity to talk about what's going on in the world, because I think that especially with everything going on in Israel and Palestine, looking, there's a lot of heavy hearts. There's a lot of asking why. There's a lot of understandably going, oh my gosh, like war makes no sense. Can you speak a little bit about your predictions about why this is happening and when we could possibly see a shift?
Well, war in Agora is the collection of all of our anger internally. And so when you see the amount of anger between red and blue and things like that, which started several years ago, you know war's coming. You know the planet's going to start going. Like I said, people say, oh, I can't believe what America's doing. I can't believe how bad our country is. Okay, go travel somewhere else. It's happening across the entire world right now. We are evolving. And so in a sense, we are in that right now. And this is why politics is, all these things are so important. It's really not even about the figures involved like it seems that it is. It's about where we are at in our own aggression. It's where we are at in our own selves regarding our anger at things. Mm. And I come from a Gork background, which says politics are there to show you how much anger you have in yourself. That's it. That's it. Mm. These presidents don't have as much power as they would like to have, no matter what. It's like these are just figures that are in office that we project our anger and our hatred towards because we have so much anger in ourselves. There's a point you get to where you realize the necessity for both. And we're going to have the political turmoil until we realize there's a necessity for both. One desperately wants to hold on to old values. There's a fact in that. There's a truth in that. I get it. And then there's one that's trying to progressively move towards new ideals and new belief systems, which they feel abandoned old traditional beliefs. So we're looking at one going one way, one going the other. Both are right. There's a point we're going to get to where they feel the need to reach out and shake the other one's hand. We're not there yet. We're about 7 years away from it, in my opinion. And I believe we're going to even go through more, no matter who is elected this November, we further this. We go further. We have 4 more years of it. And then I think right after that will be when we start to think about, we might need each other. And you know what? We might like each other a lot more than we know. And that's the thing is we don't really hate each other as much as we want to think that we do. And we actually do appreciate the other one. I'll say something that sounds absurd. It's a thin line between red and blue. It's much thinner than people think it is. People think it's this thick barrier between. It's not. It's thin. We're getting closer to realizing that. So the upheaval has to be greater. So our hatred towards each other is going to persist no matter what goes on. I'm not making predictions about Trump or Biden until August. And the reason for that is Trump is in this system in an incredibly difficult alignment. You can go back way before August of last year to hear me say August of 2023 to July of 2024, Trump is in a K2 subphase. K2 is one of the most malefic planets in this chart and deals with constant debts and expenses. I predicted a year ago that his debts would be overwhelming. And if he comes out of that in August, this alignment, empowered, well, then I'm going to start looking at making some predictions there. And Biden's chart, we don't have, it says 8:30 online. I have been told by people that actually know him, he was born at night. So the chart that Biden has online isn't technically a real one. That's why a lot of people predicted Biden to be dead already, because the chart he has online isn't technically an accurate one. So I think I might have it now, which came from someone in politics that knows him. I think I might have it, but I have to wait to also see what August looks like in his chart. Then I'll make a prediction, but I do know that it's not going to make much of a difference at this phase. What's going on in the universe is bigger than what's going on in our country with the red and blue. War, I believe, is, again, we have to get to a place where we don't want war anymore. That comes from appreciating the people that we hate right now. It comes from that. So if we can all collectively start realizing the middle ground that is needed between these two, red and blue, both have a place, and significantly so. When we realize that, and out of all the things I'm saying on the show, this is the most unpopular thing I'm going to say, by the way. And I know this because the way the world is right now. Darkness, I think somehow we want to accept that. The thing with politics, we don't want to accept this part yet. We kind of need each other. And these two different faces of red and blue kind of need each other. And I just think we're a long ways away. And so because I think there's still a lot of hatred in humanity towards other people, other belief systems, I think war is going to persist because of that. Mm. If we can in ourselves realize that there's a need for balance, again, balance is how we have all light in life. Balance is the balance of light and dark, the balance of love and fear. When all things are balanced is when we find that peace. When we are ready for that, then we're going to have peace. We're not quite there yet. And there's a lot of people want more war still because their hatred is that strong. And this is collectively going on the planet. So how does that pertain to astrology? It does. I believe we have 7 more years of turmoil with politics.
Mm. And you said there's an alignment coming up collectively beginning of May, right? That we're going to feel some shifts. What's happening?
May 1st is Jupiter in Taurus in proper astrology. And I'll probably be showing it on with my phone telescope that actually shows you Jupiter just entering Taurus, where Western astrology has had it in Taurus for a while. We have it moving in here now. And that's why I predicted Bitcoin and electronic money to kind of expand at this time in the spring of this year. Uranus, they say Uranus, but it's pronounced Uranus, also goes into Taurus later in the month of May. This month of May is significant. It's a very big month, and we have a year where there are some openings that are going to take place for us. I even think there's going to be some openings for peace that can come through. I still think our hatred as a collective humanity has to be changed and evolved a little bit more than it is for us to have peace, but I believe there's more options for peace coming in the future. Jupiter in Taurus is generally a very abundant alignment. It generally produces financial gain for people. People have been very dedicated to certain paths financially that haven't really reaped the fruits of their efforts might reap that in this phase. It's supposed to be Jupiter, the planet of luck and fortune, going into Taurus, the sign of money. So we should start dealing with money differently. We should start being able to increase our finances as well. Yet, if people have karma in them that inhibits their ability to fully open to their own abundance, they're going to run into the opposite. They're going to run into poverty right now. I know a lot of people just lost their jobs recently, as if Taurus is not doing that favor for them. In a sense, we have to now clear out that which is in ourselves that doesn't allow us to experience abundance. If your consciousness is open to receiving sincerely, this is going to be the best alignment you've had for finances in a long time. If there are issues in you that prevent it, well, the universe then has to work that out and remove those obstacles. But Jupiter in Taurus is a really good phase for money. I believe options for peace are going to exist in there. I still believe collectively we have too much anger for that to fully turn us into having peaceful resolutions. But I think there's going to be opportunities present for this, and I hope they exist. But this alignment coming is an opening for people to have more of an abundant lifestyle, Jupiter in Taurus.
Mm.
May 1st to May 30th of next year.
And I'm excited because Jupiter is coming in strong on my chart. So I'm ready for a Jupiter year. I haven't had one since I think you said 2000.
That's
so
correct.
I've had a lot of clearing of karma.
That's right.
Yeah. And yeah, a lot of contrast. Anything else we should be just mindful of? You know, I think what's been helpful for me, so many things, but one of the things that's been super helpful is oftentimes if I'm having a hard time or if things just don't look like they're going well, I go back and look at our notes and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm in more of a neutral or negative cycle, or this is the difficult week right now. And instead of trying to make it better, I just accept that I'm in not a super light time, that it is like a heavier time. And honestly, the lack of resistance to the heavy moments and the lack of trying to change them has made life so much easier for me, because it's like pushing a boulder uphill, and it's not being complacent and it's not going into victim. It's more just not fighting with reality, as Byron Katie would say, and not trying to change it. Just really looking at, all right, acceptance, you know? So for people that might be in one of those darker times when it just feels like there's a lot of dark, what questions could they be asking themselves, or what actions could they take to like not go into despair? Because despair is a dangerous place to go into.
It is. It is a very difficult place to go into. And you know, you that you having a book out about disappointment is so such a Pisces moon, by the way. Pisces is that sign that rules over those types of things. But this is why there's such a yin yang in all forms of spirituality. Even in Christianity, as an example, you know, Christ is often seen as this radiant sun, but then you have images of him on a cross being crucified. There's both forces in creation. So this would be time to, when you go through challenging times, I think focusing on consciousness, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, in more of a challenging, suffering place is liberating. And it's time to tap into that force, because this, the universal consciousness does suffer for humanity. It actually does. And so the darker times are when we're experiencing that in ourselves. And we're experiencing the emotions that are stored in our subconscious from previous lives where we didn't fulfill the things that we need. We didn't get the things that we want. And sometimes we have to sit in those feelings. But that's when I think it's time to acknowledge the spirit that also goes through these things too. Yet it's not attached to it. It sees it more from a universal point of view. But it's time to tap into that spirit that does suffer and does go through these challenges too. It's easy for me to see Kali in that and to see her suffering for her children that she wants to come home. It's really easy to see me here to go into that despair. I want my children back. They're lost. And some of them are out there and she knows they're coming back, but there's a time, there's that separation factor. You're dealing with that separation force when things get dark. And what I do is if I go through a time that's dark, I'm like, what is this darkness coming from? What am I afraid of right now? What is bringing this sorrow into my life? What is doing it? And I can often feel clear enough to come up with an answer there. And I think it's important too, in darker times, to dig deep, to constantly seek out where it's coming from. It is universal, but you are part of universal consciousness. So tap into your own self, because if you can bring light to that yourself and liberate that, you can also liberate it in people that are close to you. But it's time to focus in on the shadow side of consciousness when these darker times show up. And I think there are imageries all over this planet in which you can actually tap into that.
Yeah. Well, I can remember a couple of times calling you and being like, JWTF, like, and yeah. You've just said, well, here's when it gets lighter. And until then, you're just, it just is what it is. You know, you're going through a tougher cycle right now. And it's been reassuring, because I think a lot of times we want to get out of it and we want someone to make us feel better versus just going, okay, this is life. This is contrast. The degree to which you suffer through it, again, is your choice, is your responsibility. Even one thing I always talked about expectation hangover was leveraging it, like leveraging disappointment. And what I think I was really saying in that, using your words, was like clearing the karma, really asking, you know, what am I learning? Because that is how we grow. And I think that listeners of this show in particular may be on that agora path. It may not be their language, but may be really drawn to this personal development, this looking, not for like trying to find problems, but like almost an innate knowing of like, there's stuff I want to clear out. You know, there's stuff that I've been carrying around for a long time that, you know, I want to be free of. So that quest, you know, I guess what I'm asking is, for people that may be judging themselves as like too much into personal development or always quote unquote working on themselves, because I hear a lot of people have a lot of judgment or like feeling like, oh, this again, like the same thing is up again. How could you reframe that for them?
Well, there are certain things that are just constant patterns until we can identify where they come from in ourselves. And the reverse agoric philosophy on that is really intense. It's really intense. It's asking yourself why you want it there and why you're so attracted to it. You are attracted to the patterns you can't get out of. And when you can realize why you're attracted to it and what it brings to you, what safety it brings to you to be attracted to challenging stuff, then you get to free yourself from it. But if you keep going, how do I get out of this? It's deeper than that. You have to look at yourself and go, why do I want this? What am I gaining from this? What am I doing in this same experience over and over again? You feel safe in it. That's why you're doing it over and over again. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to people. Mm-hmm. And when you can realize you feel safe in it, then you can change it. If you're, it's like, it's, there are things that we feel safe in that are directly from our childhood, the things that we saw growing up. And unfortunately, though, those things that happened to us in our childhood were brought upon us by the things we did in our previous incarnations. Yeah. So there are things that you witnessed that you feel safe in that are incredibly destructive patterns for your spirit. And so you have to reverse the whole thing and say, why do I want this here? And why does it keep me safe to keep going through the same thing over and over again? And then you officially have put yourself in the power role of changing it, not the victim role of like, what am I going to do with this? How do I get out of this? I'm a victim. No, you're not. You created it. You want it there. And when you can realize what safety it brings for you to have it there, then you can start changing it. And that's the reverse psychology in it. You love it. You want it. Our consciousness does have to experience an equal amount of light and dark. And so it is going to gravitate towards things like that. But I think you free yourself up from entirely of accepting responsibility for it being there and even going, I want it here. Then you can bring it into your power place where then you can change it.
Right. And someone listening may say, you know, I was violently abused as a kid. I don't want that. Okay, fair. And is there still something you want in terms of the suffering, right? Because sometimes we can use the bad things that have happened in our life as an excuse not to really, you know, go after the things that we do. So I think this is a great place for us to start to wrap up is really asking everyone listening, because you're talking to me too. Like I for sure still have patterns that I complain about, but on some level, there's a payoff. And I have to like get quiet and think deeply about what that payoff is, but I can always find it. And it requires a level of honesty with myself that is hard sometimes because it's like we talked about earlier, it's way easier to say, oh, if only this thing were different, I'd be different versus going, okay, this thing happened or, you know, this pattern is here or this person is this way. What's my role in it? And how am I still hanging on to patterns that aren't serving me because I'm getting some kind of payoff? So those are juicy questions to leave people with. I know I'm gonna do some reflecting on that today with some of the patterns that I'm complaining about in my own life. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And always thank you for producing some of the deepest conversations. This is why I love coming on your show is because I know we are going to go there. And that doesn't happen very often. That's a special thing about you. And that's why you have such an amazing fan base of people behind you as well, because you just kind of provoke the things that people need to focus on.
Well, and I appreciate so much this community because, you know, you have to have courage and honesty and a willingness to look at these things. It's not for people that just want a rainbows and unicorns kind of existence. But I truly believe that, and you've said it in the words of science and astrology, and that we're in such a changing time. We're going to have this, you know, different, I think you've called it a golden age at 2070.
That's
have you
correct.
Used those words? Yeah,
that's correct. Yep.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope I make it to that phase. But I really do see like more so than ever generational pattern breakers in families, you know, people really choosing not to repeat things that have happened in their families for generations, the least predictable people in the world, you know, doing this kind of inner work, like there is more of a hunger for it. So yes, there's a lot of pain and suffering and awfulness and war going on in the world. But like you, I also see a lot of awakening, a lot of people really willing to take responsibility for their life. And the listeners of the show are some of those people. So I just want to acknowledge you for being one of those people, even acknowledge myself for being one of those people, and really deeply acknowledge the listeners here for being willing to not just look for the rainbows and unicorns, because it's, yeah. So Jade, how can people, I know you're super booked up, but what's the best way for people to learn more about you and connect with you?
Well, you know, I actually like my Instagram Jade Soluna at all one word, Instagram. And then if you want to book a reading with me, Asterian, Asterian Astrology at Priest com to book readings, and Alyssa will set you up. And yes, that's the best way to get a hold of me. And one parting message from me,
yes,
with
please.
A show that has a little bit of darkness in it, is something I've already said. The universe wants you to have the life that you want to have in your consciousness. It benefits you and the universe for you to have an incredibly abundant life. So start figuring out what's in you stopping it and holding it down. I'm a firm believer that the universe wants you to have the most amazing life ever, because then you get to go home. You complete this lesson here. So just remember, in the midst of a show where there's been talks of demons, dark planets, everything, that the reason why people come to me is because they feel safe with me, because I also want people to have incredibly abundant, safe lives. I want people to succeed and be prosperous. It's the core longing of me to have everyone succeed in their life. But you have to recognize that you are responsible for why it's not. And you have to get into those patterns and realize why you want them there. And then we can start changing and having that completely abundant life that we should all have.
Oof. Thank you, Jade. You are way more than an astrologer, that's for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. And Agora, I'm very passionate about this path, enough where there's been times where it's been a risky path to be part of the types of clients I have, like yourself. But it's truly the path to me about having the most abundant, fulfilling, and safe life out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jade.
You're welcome.